In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a story about a family who is gathered together, and in their celebration, year after year, they always celebrate with a ham. Now, this young girl sees her mother preparing the ham, and she notices her mother cutting off the ends and then placing it in this very large pan. So she asks her mother, "Why did you cut off the ends of the ham?" She goes, "I don't know. This is what your mother did, or your grandmother did, and so I do it as well." But why? Well, for that, you would have to ask your grandmother. So she goes to her grandmother and she says, "Grandmother, why is it that you would always cut off the ends of the ham?" And she said, "Well, because my mother did that. So because she did it, I do it as well." So you go, "But why?" "Well, I don't know. You'd have to go ask your great-grandmother." So she goes to her great-grandmother and she says, "Great-grandmother, why is it that you always cut off the ends of the ham?" She said, "Because I didn't have a pan large enough to put the ham in." So the moral being that even though cooking pans over time became larger, that they could fit the whole ham in and then some, these ladies followed a tradition they themselves never understood, and as a result ended up paying attention to something that had no importance, even though they thought it did. Today's readings in the commemoration of the 318 Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council call us to make sure we know what we are doing and why we are doing it. We are called upon to be conscious about our faith and exact with our intention to live it. Blessed Father Seraphim Rose of Platina, California, summed up the writings of the Holy Fathers by saying, "Orthodoxy is life." If we don't live orthodoxy, we simply are not orthodox, no matter what formal beliefs we might hold. If we do not see orthodoxy as life and struggle to live in Christ, then all we end up doing is cutting off the ends of the ham, thinking all the while that what we are doing is well. In today's epistle reading, we hear the Apostle Paul addressing the bishops to be on guard against heretics and to constantly pay attention themselves, and for all Christians to pay attention. He exhorts them to follow his example of laboring with them night and day. For 3 years he did that, even with tears, to help them understand how to live in Christ and to know truth from falsehood. Why? Because he knows that we fight a spiritual battle. He knows that it's tempting for all of mankind, regardless of our age, to choose the broad path over the narrow path. We hear it in every epistle of the apostles. "You've done well with this, but you're erring in this. This is where you've gone wrong. Come back to the teaching we set forth." The epistles were written to always make clear what St. John wrote in his gospel in the chapter 21. "That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." At the ascension of our Lord, we heard in the gospel how the God-man opened the apostles' understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, that is, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, which concern the Christ. Here the apostles clearly understood the dogmatic faith revealed by the Lord and waited for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to allow them to go with power to all nations with the glad tidings of salvation and of life. So from Pentecost forward, guided and comforted by the Holy Spirit, the apostles, those whom they ordained and ministered to, kept in purity the gospel of God by living it in the Orthodox Church, with the God-man preserved for himself through his own blood. As Father George Florovsky states, "Christian tradition is the constant abiding of the Spirit, and not only the memory of words." And as the Kantakion of today's feast proclaims, the preaching of the apostles and the dogmas of the fathers confirmed the one faith of the church. And wearing the garment of truth, woven from heavenly theology, she rightly dispenses and glorifies the great mystery of piety. 232 bishops, 86 priests, deacons, and monks, totaling 318 holy fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, were summoned to bring, among other things, the end to disunity within the church and the empire over the heretical teaching of Arius. Arius was a priest whose educational upbringing was heavily influenced by Aristotelian philosophy and the Jewish philosopher Philo of Alexandria. Arius was by all counts a charismatic personality and a very elegant orator. His heresy taught that the Lord Jesus Christ was less than fully divine, that he was a created being, created by God the Father in time, of unlike essence with God the Father, inferior to God the Father, and divine only by God's grace. Due to his personality, the influence and money of certain elite individuals, this heresy spread like a horrible disease, infecting many churches. Like cutting off the ends of the ham, just because mom did so, we can see how easily it could be to lose sight over knowing the why and making sure we keep ourselves to living it. Of course, we know that our patron saint, the Holy Bishop Nicholas, did not tolerate such deplorable speech. We know how he smacked the face of this unrepentant priest for the shame and destructive lies he was setting forth. I believe a lesson to be learned from Saint Nicholas is not to smack, is that we should not tolerate blasphemous lies about God and His church to come from Orthodox Christians. If they will not repent, then we are to be done with them until they do so. So what did the 318 holy fathers decree to clarify the once delivered faith for all mankind? They wrote the first portion of what later became the symbol of faith, or the Nicene Creed. Let us hear what they declared on that day. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of his Father, of the substance of the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance, consubstantial with the Father, by whom all things were made, both which be in heaven and in earth, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate, and was made man. He suffered, and the third day he rose again, and ascended into heaven. And he shall come again to judge both the quick and the dead. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. And whosoever shall say that there was a time when the Son of God was not, or that before he was begotten he was not, or that he was made of things that were not, or that he is of a different substance or essence from the Father, or that he is a creature, or subject to change or conversion, all that to say, the Catholic and Apostolic Church anathematizes them. So, just so there was no confusion, it was very clearly decided, you know, this is definitely what we're talking about. But why a creed? The creed is a confession of who we are and who we hope to become in God. We confess the creed in faith as a testimony to the life we confess to live. Recall the words of Father Seraphim Rose, "Orthodoxy is life." Therefore, the creed should not be said lightly. We are to know why and to what we are confessing. The creed is said at the making of the catechumen as a declaration of the catechumen to the church that they believe in the gospel of God as preached by the apostles and preserved in whole in the Orthodox Church alone. And as the faithful and catechumens say in the Divine Liturgy, we testify that this is the life that we struggle to live from birth to death. There is nothing more true or more important to us. We confess this to God and to each other. Be warned. If there is something in the creed, no matter how small, that you do not believe, do not confess this creed. And if you do not confess the creed, then don't partake in any of the sacraments until you confess your unbelief. For it is a greater sin to partake but not to believe than it is not to believe at all. Confession is for healing, not punishment. If you are such a person, take courage in the truth. The Lord desires none to be lost. It is the desire of the Father for all to have eternal life. So go and be healed. In today's gospel, the God-man Jesus Christ proclaims to us that to know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, to whom the Father sent, is eternal life. And we are to have this life. This is to be our existence from birth to death. Every thought and action is to be from this life eternal, abiding in God and God in us. Selfless love, one for another, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have for each other. This is the Nicene Creed. This is Orthodoxy. Saint Clement of Alexandria wrote regarding the Ascension, "For Christ did not ascend on high in order to present himself before the presence of God the Father. He always was and is and will be continually in the Father. In sight of him who begat him, he was presented himself, therefore, as man to the Father on our behalf, so that he may restore us again, as it were, to behold the Father's face." In today's gospel, the Lord says, "Holy Father, keep in thy name those whom thou hast given me, in order that they may be one, even as we are one. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in them." Is the fullness of the Lord's joy in you? Are you living eternal life? Brothers and sisters, let us not be careless with the holy traditions which have been handed down to us. Let us not keep behaviors and patterns which do not unite us to God. Let us struggle together in faith and love, confessing the creed of our life, being transfigured in his grace by his love. And like St. Paul, may all of us make haste towards Pentecost. Amen.